All right, welcome back to the Firefighter Craftsmanship Podcast, where we guide you through the psychology of high performance, expand your mindset, and strengthen your resilience. And today we have from the Great White North, right around the winter season, Corey Pern from Crackle Magazine. How's it going today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We've had a few Canadians on here, and you guys just keep spitting fire. So we're going to continue with the Canadian route because
Good.
man, oh man, I love it. I'm learning a lot from you north of the border. So we appreciate the time.
Yeah, excellent. Let's see
It's
what
been
I
a
can
lot of
do.
fun. Yeah, indeed. No pressure, but you better deliver, right? All right, so let's get after it. What's Crackle Magazine and where did that thing come from?
Sure. Yeah, Crackle is came. I guess it came out of a lot of different things. It definitely didn't happen overnight. It's something that I was building in my mind, and over a few years. It ended up being a magazine. I guess a publication that I put together, focused on the firefighter as a person. I figured. Just thinking of my own career and where I'm at 20 years in, 22 years in now, and I had a lot of questions and obviously things happening. I had my own health scares, nearly lost my life to heart failure, losing friends that I, comrades that we're working with, either suicide or heart related or, cancer. So just all these things were happening. I was just like, we need something. We need something, or I need something. I have, again, more questions than answers. So I decided to look at this. Creating a publication seemed to be the obvious thing to me. We have seven pillars that we focus on. So it's health, lifestyle, fitness, finance, relationships, stress, nutrition. And really just trying to figure us out on, so how can we go and do our jobs if we're broke, we're going through a divorce, we're strung out, self-medicating with drugs and alcohol. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I just wanted to back up a little bit and really just figure out who are we when we're not at work, and how do we manage that beast that we are. And then the things that are happening to us. So that's Crackle. Crackle is that hopefully that lifeline that we've been kind of looking for, and see if we can make a movement in the right direction, and we have been very effective to this point over the last few years.
Yeah, really interesting and certainly an angle that we love here at Firefighter Craftsmanship, which is focusing on the humans and the human performance. And then I like that seven pillars. And really, you could say that that's probably the seven pillars of wellness overall, like during my master's research project, I got to study the effect of a wellness intervention program at a fire department working a 4896. And what we found out really, really quickly in that project was when I say to you, Corey, what does wellness mean to you? It's going to be a completely different version than what it means to me, And so I think that it's pretty cool to hear these seven and you rattled them off quick, which is something that's a tenet of your product where it was Crackle. But, some big ones in there, which one of those we don't talk a lot about is financial wellness. And we kind of forget about that plays into that overall human piece, but so does mental health, and so does physical fitness and cardiac health, and blah 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 blah. And so I think I love that the platform has said, "Hey, we're gonna niche down and we're gonna focus on the people doing the work in emergency services."
Yeah, I mean, if even if you mentioned finances, like if that's why we go to work, that's usually why we're picking up the overtime shifts. That's unless it's mandated, but that's what keeps driving us to try to get out of these holes that we dig. And then when something breaks down, it's just like we try so hard, and it's just like, we're still kind of working in a vacuum. And so the finances is a big part of, our happiness, and it's a big motivator for us. And when that fails, it starts trickling into mood swings, projecting onto other people, and short fuse, all those things that could be stemming from that one pillar. So, and that all the ingredients to what makes up, I think, like you said, wellness and well-being, there's no doubt that, we're not creating a new wheel here, but we're spinning everything to a firefighter, first responder mindset, which is the difference. Because you say we can't con a con man, and we see through the BS. I say I can talk myself in and out of anything. So it's hard to hear these hard truths sometimes, and we think we can just talk ourselves out of it, but really at the end of the day, it takes a bit more than that. So
Yeah, it does. And it doesn't just happen by accident,
no.
and that's where a focused publication on a national scale where you're able to just connect thought leaders or people that are doing some pretty neat stuff, and then share it. And I think one of the coolest things about that is Crackle is available for free in the digital version. And so you
Yeah.
guys are essentially gifting this amazing resource out into the world. And every time I look at one of the issues, I learn something from that. Even if it's stuff that I'm like, oh, I don't, finance isn't really my deal. I'm just happy I get paid, blah, 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 blah. So maybe you don't attack that, but it's, okay, well, human performance is a big deal of what I'm into and physical fitness and all of that. And there's something in there kind of for everybody. Or maybe you read that finance article or whatever, the mental health article, whatever it is, and you're like, oh boy, that kind of brought something up.
That could have
And then you
been a
could start.
conversation we've had. Yeah, I think, like if you're doing well, that's great. Let's keep you doing well. Like if you're figuring it out and all aspects of your life are working and firing, perfect. Let's keep you there. How is it working? What are you doing? But I mean, chances are you're probably going to be injured or sidelined at some point in your career, unexpectedly. You're not going to, how fragile are we? That's the other thing. Like, if you are doing well, then what is your resilience to not doing well? Maybe you're just getting lucky. And, so it's paying that attention now, especially now if you're doing well. Great. Like I said, let's keep you that way, but let's figure out how you're doing well. And if you're not doing well, then, if you got some areas that, that are, you can, that are working for you, but you've got some other ones, it could be even just going through a divorce. So let's figure that out, right? What does that look like? In the magazine, we cover so much editorially that there is bound to be something in there that'll be a conversation that you've had, or someone else had a conversation. You can just share it. Like, that's the idea. It's that the firefighter in the room that has the answers. That's kind of what we're trying to have, and we don't follow current events. So every issue, is kind of telling a story. It's, more or less volumes of content opposed to just, what's happening now and then throw it out and the new one's coming in the mail. It's really, we're finding people are collecting them. It's a breadcrumb trail to health and wellness and something we can refer back to. And that's really what we're building here.
Yeah, I love the take. I mean, it is a very unique trade journal. I'm not going to use the word journal because then we get into this peer-reviewed stuff and all
There's
that, but
lots of
it's
pictures.
it. Yeah, lots of pictures, maybe some crayons for the truckies, a little snack time. But there's something in there. But really, it is a. I don't know what the editorial word for that would be, but it's really more than just a magazine, right? Where it lives on the coffee table for a little bit and gets thrown in the cupboard or in the trash. It's something that you can absolutely go back to, and it's great that it lives in forever, in the digital space as well.
And we've been really fighting to, connect with our firefighters and be thoughtful in the way that we're not wasting their time. So if you do, everyone's busy. So if you do take a minute to either pick it up or view it online, that you're gonna get something out of it. And there's gonna be some takeaways, and you're gonna be glad that you did. You're gonna be like, holy shit, like, where has this been? And that's what we're finding is once people see it, they're just like, they're they're happy. They're glad that they've now know that this exists. And that's kind of what we're doing. And we're challenged every day with trying to come up with stuff that amuses us and challenges us to think a little bit differently. Like, again, it's not lost on me. I talk out of both sides of my mouth, where it's, we learn these things. I source articles on things. I find an expert. I read the article, and then I do it, the opposite in my own life. So, it's just, but it's a moving target, and that's the whole point of it. Like, I got home the other morning, and my wife was away, and then the first time I seen her with it, within 5 minutes, I was short fused with her about something, and it was really, I'm like, what is happening? Like, why? I'm like, we're not even talking about anything of significance. And I just, so, I kind of, again, this is where I'm learning. And, she was working from home. So I went down and I said, look, I didn't mean to, I don't know what happened. Like, I think I'm still coming down from being at work. And then that mindset of just get it done, task oriented, what's the problem, fix it, get out of my way, and what's the next thing? And it's not how you deal with stuff at home. That's not, no one here operates like that. And so, that's the magazine that's helping that. That could have been something that just kind of ruined the day for no reason, for no reason at all. So anyway, so it's something that, again, it's a moving target, and it's real, man. Like, it's, and it actually makes you more, it's harder when you actually know what you need to do, when you're like, oh shit, I know I'm wrong. Yes. I gotta put my tail between my legs and go fix this, but it's good.
Yeah, I think we're pretty good at talking ourselves into stuff and not always talking ourselves out of it, especially in the home environment, right? Yeah,
Absolutely.
so yeah. But I think you hit it spot on and some good sage re relationship advice there for sure that for some reason I can't seem to learn is, we don't always have to solve the problem at home, right? Like sometimes you just let it marinate a little bit and then they might actually just want you to listen to them, but there's some good relationship advice there as well that I kind of
For
like you,
sure.
it's funny when we're here and we're talking about human performance and physical fitness and all this stuff. And then it's like, you can certainly have some imposter syndrome when we're trying to spread the good word. And none of this means that we are the master by any means. It's these are things like, it's the Firefighter Craftsmanship Podcast is a selfish endeavor. I get to talk to people that I want to talk to and learn from them. And then luckily there's a community of people that want to listen to some of that stuff, And so
Absolutely.
I'm sure that it's a little bit with Crackle as well of like, hey, I have this pressing thing, or I see this pressing thing that I can't solve because I want to solve it for the fire service or emergency services. Who can maybe shed some
Absolutely.
light? And that's a really, really cool platform.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. It's really bringing people into the fold that might have a clue what's going on in our lives, right? So.
Indeed, yeah, it's all really good stuff. And I think you make a great point there too of you might be doing really well now. Let's keep you there. And let's not only just keep you there and then settle, let's make you better. And we can all get better in all of these areas, the all seven pillars. We can obviously all of us get better and more educated and more at peace and calm in all of those pillars.
Yeah, and I think, a big part of my messaging is, it seems so obvious to me in some ways, is like, when you get into the fire service, usually you're doing well. Like, you're the best version of yourself. You've jumped through all the hoops, and the idea is to keep you there. I'm not really trying to make firefighters be more. I'm trying to just keep them who they are as a person, who they are to their friends and family, who they are and want to go to work, and engage with, the firefighters that they're working with, want to achieve, credentials and qualifications, and want to keep trying to move the fire service forward. And all these things come from healthy firefighters. And it's not a healthy firefighter in the sense of eating protein bars and working out every day, it's a well-being firefighter. It's the one that, notices you're having a bad day and has enough capacity that they're in their life to say, "Hey, man, how are you doing?" Because we're so working again in a vacuum in our own lives that we don't even see others failing around us in a lot of ways because we're so fixated on just get through the shift. Just I'm gonna do a workout later, or I'm gonna do this, or I've got this. Like it's just, and then the tone's going off. And so it's we really, if you can have some time, some energy, and some wherewithal to step back a little bit and say, "Hey man, how are you doing?" Like I'm okay. I'm pretty sure I'm okay. I feel like I'm doing, enough right now that I can now look at you. And that's I think that's ultimately what we need. I'm really want to farm out our wellness where once you have it, give it away. And in that type of thing. And we have peer support programs and we have people who are trained in these certain areas or to recognize or to help and provide solutions or but really I think it's the firefighter you're standing beside washing the truck with that may recognize that you're having a bad day. And so I think farming out this type of thinking and having to the general population, again, have that bandwidth just to be aware, just to be aware of what's happening around and assess yourself and be able to go home and walk in the door and want to be there,
Yeah,
That's
it's great because you're creating community and you're, when you read these, every time you read these magazine, Crackle magazine, the issue is you'll find something where you'll be like, oh, I'm not the only one thinking about that. Or that's not only limited to me, right? You'll find really, really quickly that you are not alone. And most of the time, like at the end of the article, there's a way to contact the person that put it out, And so you can really start to get some traction on things that maybe you're concerned about or you've run up against brick walls in. And a lot of times these are like the leaders in the space, which is really, really neat.
Yeah, and I think and it's we I would say we mix in the vegetables with the dessert. Like it's firefighting is a great, it's an amazing career and so there's a lot of great things happening. So we also champion those things as well as and we kind of mix in some of this headspace stuff, and then we have amusing things, we have some tidbits and stuff to kind of keep us entertained. So it's something that hopefully you get something out of, like you said, and then you start out learning one thing and then you're learning something completely different that you didn't think that was coming. So
Yeah, it's cool. It's fun to chase these rabbits, and I think all of us want to learn stuff. And there's great publications that are out there that are focused heavily on basic skills. And you guys have taken the stance of saying, hey, let's focus on something that sometimes is really, really hard to track. And there's not a lot of metrics around wellness, right? And wellness for us, if we even just use the seven pillars as the framework, it changes every single day, right? And so it's really, really hard to track it. And so I think that that's where this publication specifically is so exciting. You're saying, hey, they're doing a great job over there. And that's not what we're trying to be. We're walking down the Crackle road, and it's focused on the person. And I think it's really, really cool and well received and perfect timing for it to show up as well.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work. It's when I started, I thought I knew it was gonna be a lot of work, but it's way more than I bargained for. And I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about obviously the fire service and how it works, the who's who, who's doing what. And there's some amazing things happening, and I think, what I have heard, firefighters at work, kind of saying like feeling like no one's fighting for them or, but there's so many people that are fighting for us. And it's incredible when you're kind of part of that and you see it's a tireless effort and, it's really, it's inspiring to that when I go to work, I think about, all these things that are that people are fighting for us. So, which is nice. It's nice to have that support.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because at times we can feel kind of like we're climbing a sand dune, right? Where you might,
Totally.
especially organizational change. So what do you think, from your perspective, you've learned a lot of lessons from being the editor of Crackle and the producer and publisher of that thing. But what is an organization's role in that? Let's kind of talk about, a lot of people talking smack about their organizations right now, and it's always the top's fault and all that sort of stuff. But what's an organizational's role in this overall human part of the game?
It's a good question. In a lot of ways, the problem with looking department headwise is that's a changeover position. So, when I think of what a department needs to do is they have to create something that's sustainable in the sense of when that chief is there for 3 years and gone, that someone else can pick up that torch and run with it. And be able to have the their department kind of not lose momentum in any wherever they've got to in the sense of programs or funding. So I think a lot of that has to be it has to create really that sustainable program. And it has to be, it's in the fibers of the department from top to bottom in a lot of ways, because you need the buy-in from the firefighters, on the floor, and then you need the obviously the funding and the time and the space to be able to do these things. And so it is definitely a from the top down, bottom up, scenario, which was why it's tricky, right? But I think, from a department standpoint, funding has to be sourced somehow, some way, which is its own monster, and then putting resources to it and allocating resources for it. So, we know the proof's in the pudding as far as, maintaining and helping your firefighters and having, these networks. But it takes a bit to get going, right? It's like anything, it's front loaded. So it takes energy up front. Once it's there, now you're managing it. It's different and operating it opposed to, grassroots bringing it in. But, there's fire departments out there that have figured it out. So I think, that's something that, one of our initiatives is, obviously trying to remove these silos that happen from departments, and someone has figured something out. How do we learn from that and not start from scratch? Because firefighters, like, we're smart people. Like, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out on our own. But if we can stand on the shoulders of others, and it's not really, even if money was endless, it's the time and energy. And you may, again, everything's so fragile. So it's just sooner than later. And now is always better than never. So.
Yeah, indeed. And starting small, right? Because one of the funny things about like probably the wellness space, if we just use that blanket term, is if I'd try to create like a new wellness program at our organization and I'm running 911 calls and I'm a captain on an engine company and training probies and teaching at the fire academy and blah, 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 blah. Like, right, just listing all of those things that happen right there, you can see that the wellness, and that's only occupational wellness, is completely out of whack, right? You got too much going on. So yeah, the component with the organization is probably financial, but also being like risk tolerant for a little while. I talked to Chris Macklin with South Metro Fire, and we talked about like their journey down there south of Denver, and they have an amazing world class well-being program and human optimization program down there now. But really, the organization kind of committed to a research phase. And so if we look at like research, we kind of forget, we read the report and the study and blah, 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 blah. And then we take the findings from that. But we forget that that research phase was a long time sometimes, right? Years and years and years worth of work and capture, with nothing to show for it until the study actually gets published. And, I think when we try to develop wellness programs, organizationally, like try to figure out how can we get some really quick wins. Maybe that's attacking something with workers' comp, where we're getting people back to work faster or preventing them from getting hurt, which means we're making the department money. But also organizationally, you have to say, hey, I'm going to commit probably at least 2 years where we might just be slogging and we're educating. But then once that floodgate gets spun open, baby, here we go.
I think it's again it's delegating in a lot of ways, or again your department heads, they're busy doing certain things and running and managing, where it's we got to find a group or committed individuals that are just, again, like, this is just, they're going to bring it to life somehow, some way, and make those calls and figure that out. But it's there's no doubt that it's worth it, and it's worth, we're worth fighting for that way. We're worth this effort. A firefighter, even just being injured and off work for three shifts, goes through the same emotional, like, feel like they're failing their team, they're centered out, they all the things, right? It's an immediate, like, world coming down. And then so it's like we need to get better at this and get better at reaching out and get better at, connecting.
Yeah, indeed. And you obviously experienced a lot of those emotions when you went through your health challenges with the heart failure, right? As it that was probably a really scary thing, in addition to being scared of like, am I gonna die? Right. But then
All the things.
also, did I just lose my career because of this thing? And that can be really, really scary for people.
Like, it's, I mean, I had all those things happen where, you're sick and you're dealing with that. And then you're wondering, okay, am I ever going to be able to do this job again? And then, you're fighting to get back, like, and being a firefighter, obviously we can't, this isn't a desk job. Like, there's no light duty for us. I want to be running calls. And so, and then when you get there and your phone stops ringing, and there's all kinds of things that happen, and I didn't visit work for a year. And I didn't realize that I was, days rolled into weeks and months, and all the doctor's appointments and different things. And I didn't realize I wasn't visiting, it wasn't going in. But and I and then and I look back, I'm like, holy shit, like, I didn't want to go in. And why is that, right? So you start looking at all these reasons, and you just isolate and alienate yourself. Which is, we're pack animals. And why does that make sense? We get hurt, and then it makes sense to isolate. Like, that's not us, right? So there's a lot of things, and then kind of laying there in my deathbed thinking, like, how the hell did I get here? And all these things, right? But it was a humbling experience, to say the least. You really do have to, you do figure out who you are, at the end of the day, when you're laying there. And it's, for me, it was more of a cleansing, I guess. And it was, really, like I said, really humbling. So it was, I guess, a bit of a gift to be able to see that side of what could be. And I am fortunate to be able to be back. I'm fortunate to be, on the job again, and have my life back. I'm fortunate that I didn't lose, friends along the way because I was mad at them, or they didn't visit me, or, all the, I didn't project my anger or my disappointment to others. So there was a lot of things that I did, but there's a lot of things I didn't do, which was, something that now I pay mind to when we're sourcing articles and talking to somebody. And I can get there. I can get there to the essence of, that despair, or, why did you do that, or how did you get out of that? Like, because it's a real thing. It's a real thing, and we have firefighters that are, going through treatments, doing all these things, and they just do it on their own. and they don't want to tell anybody. They don't want anybody to know. And it's like, now I go back to the farm it out, tell everybody, let people call you, tell people you want them to, call you, tell them to come over and have a coffee with you, like reach out, why would you do it alone? And really, I have a lot of, met a lot of people, and it's, nothing, usually it's nothing remarkable as to why you're injured or why you're off. And it's really irrelevant. It's not how you got hurt or whatever. It's that you got hurt, or it's the fact you're just not at work. It doesn't matter why you're not at work, And so it's just one of those things. I think we have a long way to go, kind of unpacking our injured firefighters or ones that are dealing with illness, even retirement. There's anything that takes you from not being kind of at work in that firehouse, any, again, retirement, it's like it's the same things that start to happen. You become, obsolete very quickly. You feel that way anyways. And it's what we all fear. The ones that are still at work, we fear being the ones not working. And then the ones at work don't want to talk to the people that are working. So it's broken. It's a broken system.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you bring up some good points there of like sometimes you can feel like a burden maybe if you have something going on and then obviously that can spin into a really nasty mental health sort of situation. And but realize you're not a burden, right? Like think if your buddy gets hurt and he's like, "I'm good, I don't need anything." It's like, man, at times you kind of want to go at least bring him some food or say what up or have a shared cup of coffee or whatever, because and he's not a burden, you don't feel like he's a burden. So what have you learned from that, especially like as a company officer? Like, what would you do different now if you have one of your people in your firehouse or on your crew that gets hurt? Like, what's a teachable moment from that experience being on the other side of the coin?
Yeah, like I just reach out now. And I have people that, we have cliques, I guess. You're closer with certain people at work because of the time you were hired or kids or whatever, right? But I've had people that are off right now, and I just call them and I say, hey, like we're not close, but I'd love to, get together for breakfast or shoot the shit with you. And it ends up being a great conversation because sometimes it's better if you're not that close, where your worlds aren't colliding in a lot of ways. You can talk about work, you can talk about the job, and you can have a real conversation with somebody that you didn't really know. So, and a lot of it's just because of, again, it may not have ever worked in the same shift, so you're just doing that passing, changing the guard thing, where it's just circumstance. It has no bearing on of anything. So yeah, so I've learned to, just reach out. I don't know what to say. All I know is, we're just gonna, just show up, Sometimes that's enough.
Yeah, and I don't think I mean, we are problem solvers, which probably gets in the way is we get scared if we don't know how to solve the problem. And
Well, we
that like,
project too. We'd be like, well, you're probably busy and you don't want to talk about it. So we project because we don't want to talk about it, right? So I put words in your mouth, but it really, you know what, maybe you do want to talk about it. And if you don't want to talk about it, at least you know that I was, still reaching out to you. Like it's still better than the phone not ringing at all, whether you want it or not.
Yeah, it's great. A really good wisdom, right? I mean, there's a lot of knowledge there for sure, but then that's knowledge in action is that wisdom of just like saying, "Hey, I know I don't actually really know you, but like truly, what do you need, right? Can I come over and mow your grass, right? Because you have a smashed up ankle or whatever, or you just got an ACL surgery or I'm coming over to mow your grass, so do I need to bring my own lawnmower or what's your garage code?" Right? Like,
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, have fun with it, man. It doesn't have to be, have fun with it. Same with we
Big
bust,
dude.
bust our chops now. Like, why would anything be different, right?
Yeah, and then to probably fold them back into the culture if it's inappropriate based on why they're not at work, right? You'll come over to the firehouse, like today we are hanging out. We have kind of a down day. We're gonna do maybe some YouTube training because a big storm is here or whatever, and like come drink some cup of coffee or you have a carte blanche. invitation to always start your day here before you have to go do light duty data entry or whatever's happening, and just really like, because I think that that's something I've been looking at, with our job is we have a good light duty program and we support our people for sure. But you talk to a lot of the folks and yeah, they just really get disconnected. And they don't want to be a burden, and so it's interesting. How can we, maybe there's a good thing that we can start to change culturally at our organizations. And you can change that just at your level, at your firehouse, right? Of everybody knowing, or if you know somebody organizationally is going through a rough time, especially like our staff sort of people, if you have relationships with some of those, or your training divisions or whatever divisions where maybe they're on days, and just saying, hey, you can come over here to station two and you can just roll in here. You don't even have to say hi to anybody, right? Like if you roll in and the door opens and closes and you come in and you just sit down and don't say anything to anybody, that's cool, man. Like we'll probably say, hey, what's up? But we're also going to give you some space where this can just be kind of a spot where you can just come blow off some steam or just sit in quiet for a little while. That's okay too.
And even if someone calls and you're like, you know what, I'm good, I'm whatever, it's this week's no good, like you still know someone called. Like that, it doesn't matter. Like really, all those things add up, and everything you're saying is 100%, you know.
Yeah, it's good
It doesn't take
stuff.
much. Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Doesn't take much. And there's like an article that you would read like in Crackle of here's just some actionable steps where you can make a positive change, not only in other people, but also in yourself. You grow as a leader when you just reach out to people and you actually do care. And if they ask you for things that are just completely unattainable, or if they go down a road, if they're just super angry and things like that, you can also paint ditch banks. That's okay too. Like, that's all right too. So,
It's a good assessment, right? You get an assessment of what's going on and how they're doing. So,
yeah. And we've been fortunate to have a couple conversations over the years. And one thing that you always come back to is like your personal accountability and personal responsibility in all of this. So, tell me kind of your thoughts on like how do you personally
sure.
fall into this whole thing, whether it's career related or wellness related or off the job related.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's easy to project. It's easy to think it's, you know, if we just had this, or if, you know, next week it'll be better or whatever. Like, I think it's really just, we just push things down the road. And I think we really just need to figure out, you know, our own space, not project in a lot of ways, and, you know, and try to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. You know, nothing's ever going to be perfect. We're firefighters, man. We figure it out. That's what we do. So make it a challenge. You know, maybe just change the way you look at things. You know, instead of getting mad at something, maybe find it amusing and be part of that solution. And you know, instead of just, you know, escalating things. And you know, I, again, just everything, I, you know, have your eyes open, and you can do a lot just by paying attention. And you know, as you become a captain and things like that, that's kind of your job. And you know, you are stepped back a little bit, but when your peers, you're really, that's the best spot to be, you know, to have assessment. And even then, your things are going to fall through the cracks, you know. So anyways, it's just one of those things, and it doesn't have to be, you know, doesn't have to be complicated. That's the other thing, is you start talking about peer support, you start talking about mental health and wellness, and everyone just gets this like, oh wow, like all these scenarios. Like, it's like, just like, make it simple. Like, it doesn't have to be that complicated. It doesn't have to cost any money. It doesn't, just, you just have to give a shit, you know. And you know, we wouldn't need these programs and stuff if we'd all just be really looking out for each other the way that we're supposed to, you know. And you know, obviously it's not that simple, but maybe it is. So that's kind of the, you know, really own the space that you're in, and have people come into it, you know. And your, like, your career changes too. Like, I've had years where I did isolate. I would rather just go and, you know, do my own studies or whatever I was working on, because it's long shifts and I had my own agenda and stuff. And then other times I'm kind of more with the crew and, and that's okay. I think that is okay. And, I was still, you change as you go. Your kids are little or whatever, you're tired, it's fine, and then when you do have the bandwidth, give it away,
Yeah, we do create perspectives or perceptions or projections, like you called it a few times, on what we think it should be like versus like being in it what it is, right? And like you said, sometimes you might be a little bit more introverted, or you're working on a big project, and so you kind of got to disappear and do some of that research, or you're maybe going to school, or you got a new baby at home. Like all of those things 100% impact how you show up at work. And that's, the foundational thing is people are involved in all of this stuff, and you don't just leave stuff at the door when you walk into work. No different than, unfortunately, we don't just leave stuff at work when we walk in the door at home, And so creating space initially for yourself first, and permission to, that's okay, but also like having some benchmarks and some fail stops in there of like, hey, if it gets to this point, then I need to, there's a problem, or front loading those resources and saying, hey, we have a clinician with our department, we can go talk to them. I definitely don't need it, right? That guy over there probably needs it, but I'm going to commit to one time a year. And then hopefully you have some success, but maybe that clinician and you don't really see eye to eye, but then find something different or find a different provider that you can maybe talk to once a year and check the oil. There's a really, really simple thing. It's just hard to get to some of those appointments because we don't want to be the person sometimes in some organizations that's labeled as, well, they're talking to the doc, right?
Yeah, for sure. And we have to get past that for sure. That's another whole story for me. But and even just being someone at work that, let's say someone is isolating, let's say something's going on in their life, maybe, it could be like a, whatever. They have something going on, so they're dealing with something, and you don't know what it is. Like for me, I feel like, why don't I know? Did I not ask the right questions? How long has this been going on? Like, so it kind of makes you feel like your head has been in the sand in some areas that you've missed it, where you didn't even know that certain things were happening. And it could be with your crew, a member of your crew or whatever. So it's stuff like that. We're obviously not going to know everything and all the time, but some things might be a little more obvious, and we're like, oh shit, I didn't know that, or so it's like, well, why didn't I know that? Like, who didn't, did I not ask the right questions? Was I not around enough? That type of thing. So it's just, it, like I said, we're not going to solve all the problems, but it's something that I definitely ask myself these questions and try to do what I can with, and kind of follow my nose with what I do, what does come to the surface. But yeah, there's no doubt. So.
Yeah, I think a good underlying thing that I'm definitely picking up is probably one of your big traits is empathy. Like, I think you probably are drawn to being empathetic, and not all of us are that. That is definitely not
I'm
one
learning,
of my big
I've
traits.
learned that. I never used to be empathetic, and if I'm being completely transparent, like I never really put myself there. And I think this is something I'm learning as I mature. And as I evolve emotionally and kind of doing what I'm doing here, and I again, but it's still that fine line of how much do you give of yourself away. So it's really creating boundaries. And as much as I'm saying, okay, why didn't I know? If something's happening, I should have known, or I could have known, or I could have asked, but I still have to create healthy boundaries that maybe I just was never going to know. Like, unless maybe that now is the time that I know. So, like, it's just, again, owning the space that we're in and giving ourselves, the, what's the word? I guess the leverage and be a fan of ourselves and not be so, critical all the time too, right? And just set boundaries that are healthy. And these are things that we learn. These are not definitive things. These change over time, and as you evolve in your career, your boundaries will change.
Yeah.
They have to. They have to.
Yeah, it's a long game. We got to play the long game, and
For
if you're
sure.
not growing, you're dying, you know? And whether that's a personal level or an organizational level, it is a work in progress, and you got to give yourself some grace. And it is actually cool to hear you say, well, empathy was certainly not a trait of mine. I developed that. Yeah, very, very important to have, right? As a leader, with some brass on your collar, to have empathy. We certainly need empathy out on, the street with the customers, but compassion fatigue is also a very real thing. And it seems like it's probably getting more and more based on how people are using the emergency response systems all over the world, maybe inappropriately. So organizationally and personally, we need to figure out how do we react to that and make sure that the people that are tasked with providing that good customer service, we've worked really hard to have great reputations as the fire service. How do we make sure that we continue to uphold that as the game continues to change?
We need to preserve the things that make the fire service as special as it is. We need to change the things that are impeding our progress. And that's all these things that we've kind of talked about that are a big part of that. Again, if we start looking at the firefighter as a person and how can we help that person get to work and be here, then all the training and all the scenarios and all the calls and all the things become a little bit easier, and which is ultimately what we're there to do,
Yeah,
right?
indeed. Indeed. Yeah. Well, and then you've got a cool resource externally like Crackle that supports you from a far away place.
It's for sure. We'll challenge you. And again, I would say if you see it, you don't like it, don't need it, perfect. At least you know it's there. But if it's something that you do find amusing, which I'm sure you will, something that you can use, share, then you know what? Then it's all worth it. So we do have an app as well. It's been developing, it's free, at this time anyways, as that evolves. But it's great. We've got some amazing things happening, and so we are working for the firefighter. That's what we're doing, and if firefighters don't want it, we won't give it to them. Like that's we need it's up to us to figure out what Crackle does. That's
Yeah.
really at the end of the day.
How does somebody get in touch with you? Like if they either want to contribute to the magazine's efforts, they feel like they have something that they can share,
Sure.
or they say, hey, here's some constructive criticism or some positive feedback. This was great, or I think you guys should maybe try to pivot and do this instead. How do people provide that?
I'm on LinkedIn as well. It's if you can reach out that way or through the website through crackle.com. We do have a contribute button there, and it sends it to our editorial team. We're always looking for articles. We want to share as many voices as we can. That's the whole, again, big part of Crackle is having that connectivity between the firefighters and those that have figured something out and sharing it. And then, even finding firefighters to profile, who's a champion in your department. We also have an ambassador program that we're working on. So we're looking for firefighters that are doing certain things and kind of that person at their department that's, whether they're pushing healthy eating, whether they are, skydiving on the weekend or whatever they're doing, something where they're just, kind of figuring maybe one thing out in their life. So we're looking for, some ambassadors and things like that to help us again farm out this wellness. That's the whole. So that's something we're sinking our teeth into.
It's great. And it's a cool new way to kind of connect like the fast-paced world of social media and information sharing with like a brick and mortar kind of shop with a magazine that's releasing them on a routine basis. But the cool part about being a small business is you are super adaptable and you can react. And like you said, we're not necessarily interested in current events. But you also are kind of based on current events on like, hey, there's a long outstanding issue and we're going to start to chip away at the block. But we need everybody's help and make sure that it's a valuable resource because it's too much energy to do it if nobody wants it.
Yeah, for sure. And we do have like fire department subscriptions. We offer a 40% discount. It's basically the cost of print and delivery of the magazine. So it's, we encourage fire departments to sign up, get them to their stations, let their firefighters chew on them, and carry them around and have these conversations. It's a low-hanging fruit. It's under $30 a subscription, and it will. We know the proof's in the pudding. We know that it's working. We are very confident in that, on that side of things. And firefighters do find it amusing, and firefighters are reading it, which is incredible.
Yeah, that's
That's the biggest lift yet. But yeah, no, it's all good. These resources are there. Again, it's free online, as you mentioned. Our entire library is online. So if you're inclined to, rather sit there and look at something digitally, they're all there. All their past issues, cover stories, all the people that we've mined out. There's a lot of material there. So, and then online, our website is constantly, it's a big engine, as well as content and things like that. We also encourage fire departments to share our content. If they have newsletters, wellness newsletters and things like that, they want to share Crackle content. So again, it's whatever we can do to help, we are in.
I love it. I love it. And it's a, I know it's a tremendous amount of work. I can't even imagine how much work it is, especially still being on the line. But it is very appreciated by me personally, and people that I've shared your content with. And we've been very
Appreciate it.
fortunate to talk to some of your authors or people that you've highlighted, or, I can see in the background there, James Gearing's on the cover of one of
Yeah.
those, and we've been fortunate to kind of talk to some of these folks on the Firefighter Craftsmanship podcast as well. And so it's a small community,
is. It
and
is.
Corey has been very gracious. He's very, very busy and very gracious with me personally, in sharing information and being willing to come on the show. And along with most of those people that are probably involved inside the magazine or behind the scenes as well. And so if you have a question or you got some content or you really want to share something, you've got some wins. Let's celebrate those wins and try to get Crackle on board and
Absolutely.
share that. It's a small community and we're all here to try to make it a little bit better for the next.
100%.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Corey. We will link your LinkedIn profile into the show notes and of course all the stuff with Crackle Magazine in the show notes as well. And thanks for listening to the Firefighter Craftsmanship Podcast. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, share this thing. More importantly, share the Crackle Magazine, the love there. Some fantastic articles, and it's easy to navigate. It's easy to share. There's not a lot of barriers in there as well. And you can hit us up on LinkedIn at Kevin Housley. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook at Firefighter Craftsmanship or firefightercraftsmanship.com. And stay smart.